Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Randy and Justin, my two bestest friends ever told. How you guys doing today? Justin, you first.
I'm fabulous, thank you.
Randy, how you doing?
Pretty goddamn decent. How about you?
I'm doing great. I remembered to ask you individually, so there was this like 4-second pause. Wait, who talks first? Do I talk first or you talk first? I don't want you to have to Kylo Ren and Poe Dameron it for me.
We're just so damn polite.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's one word to describe us.
And due to my narcolepsy last week, we didn't really have a show last week, so that's on David here. So we didn't talk about Logan. So what did you gents think of Logan? Justin, whoa. Why don't you tell us what you thought of the great?
That was incredible, man. I remember just kind of doing the oohs and the ahs every time Wolverine or X-23 would cut somebody's face off or rip their throat out or stab them in the eye or whatever the case. Me and my buddy were just constantly going, oh my god, and ooh, and this is nuts. And when it was all said and done, I would rank Logan as one of the best comic book movies to date.
Awesome. Randy, what do you think? Hated it.
That's high praise. And I'm not going to say it wasn't deserved. I'm going to say that I completely agree with everything you just said, and I absolutely loved the movie. Seriously, it was fucking amazing. I wasn't expecting to be as moved by it as I was. Sure, it was fun seeing, getting to hear Professor X curse. Hearing Patrick Stewart say the F-bomb is probably one of my favorite new experiences ever, I think. The only thing I wish we would have gone a little bit more in depth about is finding out the fate of the previous bunch of X-Men. It's kind of hinted at a little bit, and you see that Professor X has these terrible... what do they call them in the movie? Not
seizures.
Like seizures. Yeah, I was thinking tremors, but yeah, seizures, where it was just like this mind-shattering, screaming psychic, just a psychic nuclear bomb going off that just fucks with people's head. And we're kind of led to believe that that's what wiped out a whole bunch of the original X-Men. So there's a hell of a story there that I'd like to know more about. But it is such a great write-off into the sunset type of send-off for Wolverine. I wholeheartedly love it, and I enjoy the fact that whether or not they're going to choose to make any additional movies about the new mutants, the young mutants, with X-23, I would love to know more about them too. I didn't find them annoying. I found that kind of fun seeing the kids join in the battle, but seeing an aging Wolverine fighting like what looked like Hugh Jackman in his prime. That's pretty fucking intense right there too. That was badass to watch.
It was like gut wrenching. It was really what it was.
Oh yeah.
For me. Yeah. It was brutal.
Yeah, no, I loved it. And what I loved is they built this amazing world without building the world. Like they never explain why the world has gone to shit. They never, we get that one little radio blip about, you know, basically alluding to the fact that Charles killed the X-Men. but they left you just, like, they gave you just enough breadcrumbs to where, like, your mind started to race of, like, what happened without just, like, beating you over the head with it. They wanted to tell this story, and they didn't want to muddy it down with all these other just nuanced pieces that would have made for a great story but would have, I think, inevitably slowed down the personal tale that was Wolverine, Professor X, and X-23, you know, going across the country. My one thing I'm sad about is that, spoiler alert, obviously, it's 2 weeks old, you should have seen it already, is that Professor X didn't make it to, what were they calling the place?
Eden.
Yeah, he didn't make it to Eden.
I kept calling it the Green Place, like from Mad Max.
Yeah. I'm totally fine that he did die. I just wish he like would have died like there, like he would have like seen that, like, you know, it's kind of depressing, like, you know, if this movie, kind of like The Force Awakens, kind of alludes to the fact that our heroes from previous movies failed. And I loved this movie to death, but this movie shows that, you know, the X-Men and comics and movies are all about, like, you know, the X-Men trying to persevere and to live in human-based society. And we saw all these movies that were leading us down that path that, you know, eventually good will conquer, Charles will be able to save them and stuff like that. But Logan sets you in this world and it's like, no, fuck mutants. They lost out. Mm-hmm. And that's a little sad, but, you know, it is what it is. And it made for an amazingly emotional film that was pretty good. Now, Randy, you mentioned X-24. You mentioned the de-aged Hugh Jackman. And, yeah, you know, we're always talking about de-aging, whether it's Rogue One or, you know, Ant-Man, which is kind of the standard. What did you think of the de-aged Hugh Jackman?
I thought it looked fantastic. And to be honest, I couldn't even tell he was necessarily de-aged. Because, I mean, to make him look older for the older Logan, I think they did a lot of that with a little bit of makeup and some dyeing of his hair, that kind of thing, to kind of artificially make him look older. I thought X-24 was kind of just like, because he's in fucking really good shape now. You slick his hair back and, you know, give him a well-groomed set of facial hair, and I figured that's kind of what he looked like. I didn't realize there was much in the way of digital de-aging. But I will say that in that vein, since I didn't notice that it was, if it was digitally de-aged, I didn't notice it at all. I guess that must mean it was pretty goddamn good. I thought he just looked great.
And he's always moving, so it's...
True.
X-24 was rarely standing still.
Beginning, he does kind of mug for the camera a little bit in that night scene.
Every murders Charles and Peter Benton and his family.
Yeah. Eric LaSalle. That's too bad. You mentioned... about our heroes failing. And I think ultimately what they got in this movie was a moment of peace. Like, you know, Charles said something to the effect of, this is the best day I've had in a long time. And I thought that was beautiful. And then how he wanted Logan to have that sense of a home and of family. And even he got a sense of that before the end of the movie. And, you know, here's a man who's been at war since he was a little boy. And now he finally was able to just grasp the concept of what it means to be happy. And I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just like this amazingly crafted story, and I keep saying it that, like, I'm just so surprised that Fox let them make this movie, just because it is so viscerally violent at points. You know, the opening, you know, he's putting his claws through people's heads, and it's kind of all everything we've wanted out of a Wolverine movie ever since we saw him do it in X2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm extremely happy that it happened. It's just it's still kind of shocked. What'd you guys think of Pierce, the Reaver guy, who was, I guess, kind of the villain? For whatever reason, I found him very charming, and I really enjoyed, like, when he got in the car with Wolverine at the beginning, he's like, hey, big fan.
Right.
He's like, I'm not here for you, I'm just looking for this girl. And for kind of what I thought was going to be a throwaway part, I found him charmingly befuddling. Or I guess the better question is, what did you guys think of X-23? What did you think of Daphne Keene? You
know, Laura, she's great.
Yeah, absolutely badass. Just had no qualms about just ripping fuckers' faces off. And I really liked her her foot claws.
Yeah.
That was a neat addition, yeah.
I like when she was at the beginning, when she's in the sort of that barn eating cereal. And just waiting to the last possible minute to react. And then she comes out with a head. You're just like, oh, shit, it's going to be like that. That was pretty amazing.
And she's totally not scared. She's just sitting there eating her cereal. She's like, yeah, this is going to happen, I guess.
Fearless. I mean, honestly, that's what, at least what I remember as a Wolverine, like, through my entire life, was just that fearless, go get 'em, I'll stop when I'm dead kind of attitude. You know, in the cartoon, in the 90s cartoon that we all remember and love, one of the best sound bites ever was when Wolverine was up in the trees, and that, I think it was that Canadian force, that Canadian army.
Alpha
that he was
Flight?
In. Yeah. They're like, Wolverine, we're bringing you in. And he's like, you and what army? It's like, that's, to me, that's it. That makes Wolverine amazing. Like, that's his attitude.
Right, and they're all sitting around like, well, there are six of us, and there's only one of you.
Yeah.
All right, bub, better go get some more guys.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's something that's just always so cool. Like with Kirk, the example you just did, right, where when he's like, maybe you're not paying attention, but there's four of us and one of you, and he's like, well, why don't you go get some more guys and come back and we'll talk. And it's as soon as he said that, I was like, God damn it, I love Chris Pine as James Kirk. He is like the best. And sometimes it's just that one line that just sells you on a character forever. And that's what it was. And for me and Laura X-23, it was just her just raw dog badassness. That was, she was just such a fierce little warrior and just tearing shit up for 2 hours. She is the John Wick of X-Men movies.
Absolutely.
I think it was smart of Mangold to not have her like almost be mute for the first half of the movie, to where we didn't have to. Usually with kid actors, it's their overacting that kind of takes you out of the thing. But by her being mostly mute and mostly communicating telepathically with Charles, I think that was a
smart move.
That was a wise choice. Yeah. Well, so I mean, we had the death of Logan and Professor X, and so. Did one of them affect you more than other, Justin? Did you have a stronger visceral reaction because it is a movie about Logan, and you never think of him as being vulnerable? But I never really pictured Charles dying either. But
yeah, I mean, aside from him going into a billion pieces in The Last Stand, it's hard to believe that he died. What made me, I think, what was a big gut wrencher was he woke up to looking at Logan stabbing him. That just seems like a pretty solid act of betrayal. And, he would have been scared and, I think just left wondering why, which seems sad after that long of a life that he lived, to maybe feel that he was betrayed by someone that he cared so dearly about. Hopefully the movie doesn't have a way of showing that he realized it wasn't Logan, but to us, it was a pretty big shocker.
Well, when Logan's running him to the truck, he's like yelling at him, he's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah. But so, I mean, is that even resonating with him? Who knows?
And he had just had this long, prolonged talk about how he had such a great day and how he remembers what a piece of shit he was a year ago when he killed all the X-Men.
Yeah. So that's kind of rough.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? Did one of them hit you more than the other? Hit you in the gut?
No, I think, what did it was just the movie as a whole, just digesting the entire thing and knowing that there's no coming back from that. Towards the end, I was expecting to see in that rock pile makeshift gravesite for Logan. I kept expecting to see like an arm with some claws come just sticking out of it or something to indicate that he's not quite dead yet. So it's just, for me, it's just a matter of digesting the fact that he, as far as those movies are going along that timeline, he is in fact dead. I don't know. That's what gets me.
Yeah, I expected a Batman v Superman moment where like the rocks moved or something like that. But
right.
Yeah, it was such a good movie. I mean, it was everything about it. I just dug the shit out of it. So what would Justin, you had said it was one of your favorite comic movies ever. I think probably the gold standard for comic movies is The Dark Knight, but we have other great ones, like Spider-Man 2, X2, and stuff like that. Captain America's Winter Soldier, Randy. where in your top would you put it, do you think?
Okay, so
top five, top three?
Yeah, so you literally mentioned all of my favorite of all of my favorite comic book movies. But I mean, X2 is probably still my favorite. As far as the X-Men universe goes, I think it's a whole nother separate entity, and like, I just feel like X-Men is so standalone that they just get their own little category, especially with there's all this weird continuity and all that stuff. So that's X2 will probably be my favorite for a really, 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 really long time. And but Logan ranks right up there with it. The only thing is, I can watch X2 any day of the week. I don't really know how many more times I could watch Logan. Like,
the replay value is definitely going to be a big factor.
Yeah, so I might even say that I don't even need to watch that movie again. I feel like I got everything I ever needed to get out of my initial reaction from that film, and it would just have a diminishing return every time I watched it again. Whereas X2 is just fucking all out action spectacular. Logan is just such an emotional commitment that would literally lose value every time I watched it.
Yeah, that's a great point. What about you, Randy? I know your greatest comic book movies ever are different. You're more a Batman Forever kind of guy, but where would you put Logan? Top 3, top 5, top 10, bottom 5?
It's definitely top 5, and I'm leaning towards maybe even top 3. For me, in no particular order, the first Iron Man is just fucking phenomenal. Spider-Man 2. Not the Amazing Spider-Man 2, but Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2.
You don't like Jamie Foxx?
Nobody likes Jamie Foxx.
You like man boobs?
Yeah, I'll take man boobs. I used to be in Raiders of the Lost Ark anytime. I don't know. Maybe Logan would be my number 3 to fill out that top 3.
Yeah, I think same thing. I think Logan's probably in my top 3. I think as far as like from a filmmaking standpoint, I think that it's that and The Dark Knight are probably just from the pure art of filmmaking, just heads and shoulders above every single other comic movie that's ever existed. But like Justin, X2 has. Will so probably good. Always be my favorite comic movie. I love the X-Men, and I could watch X2 so much. I'm willing to accept that as a film, it's not nearly as good as those others do, but it's so much fun to watch, and I love it to death.
There are a couple like dark horses in there. You know, there's like Dread, Carl Urban, fucking badass comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, what was it? A Blade? The Blade franchise. You kind of forget sometimes that's a comic book movie. So much fun. And a great addition to the genre. And I don't always remember those right off the top of my head. And it's like I gotta dig for them. But those also have a very special place in my heart. Fucking Rocketeer, Van Dyke. You know, you like that movie.
I do.
But yep, X2, man. And even the original Superman. It's fucking great. I hate Superman, but I love the original Superman movie.
Oh yeah, Gene Hackman. Lex Luthor, the greatest criminal mind of our time. Who else says that?
Someone that knows it.
Just gonna own that shit, I guess.
Yep. He's got the bumper sticker there. But good shit, dude.
Are we all comfortable saying a score would be an A?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Wow, might be the first universal like AAA from Geek Legacy. Mm-hmm. Usually one of us is an asshole about it. I am pointing fingers. Well, all right. Well,
who are you pointing at, though?
that's the question.
That's for the audience to know. I might be pointing right back at myself.
Probably.
Yeah. Just one last thing about Logan. It's amazing that Fox is, you know, they killed it with Deadpool. They killed it with this movie. That they're just such utter fuck ups when it comes to the main X-Men franchise and Fantastic Four. Like, how can they? They clearly were so hands-off in the making of these two films And I don't know, and you know, with Fantastic Four, you know, we know that there was some meddling from the studio, but I wonder what makes them able to make these two amazing films and then just fuck everything else up they touch.
I don't think there's anything fantastic about the Fantastic Four. I think it would be very, very, very hard to sell me on that property. To be fair.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I mean, they are the first family of Marvel, and I don't particularly care for them, but there's a big it's a big contingent of people who that's their guys. I've never met any of them, but I hear they exist. Mm. They're doing good. I'm not listening to them, but I respect that he's doing it.
He's making it, and I respect him for it. Nope, I don't do the Fantastic Four. Not nice. My cup of tea.
And yeah. And so, I mean, obviously this wasn't a retelling of the Old Man Logan comic storyline, but it had some elements of it. Have either of you read Old Man Logan?
No, but I own several of the collected works, like the graphic novels of them.
I had not read it, and I thought, hey, I'll check this out. And I read it, and I was glad I did. It is a tale to be beholden, and it is a both amazing and crazy comic series from start to finish. Like, basically, the bad guys win. Bad guys win in the beginning. Like, they all band together, and they kill all the heroes. And, like, Logan's, like, one of the only ones left. And it's pretty crazy. You guys check it out. But I guess we'll move on to more recent things. Game of Thrones Season 7. Finally, we got a release date of July 16th. You know, that's, you know, sadly a couple months away, but I think we're all pretty excited to see it. And then we also got this smaller tidbit that the 8th season, which would hopefully come out next year, will only be 6 episodes. So if they stick to that 13 episodes left in the tank, we'll get 7 episodes in season 7 and 6 episodes in season 8. And Randy, does that make you happy in pants, sad in pants, or are you just ready for this shit to come out?
I need it in my eye holes right now. I just need it in every orifice you can stick it. Do it now. Please, Daddy, do it now.
Oh, shit.
Now, that having been said, I would, of course, love as many episodes as humanly possible. And I would love more seasons, even. But being that we know there's a finite number coming, I just want them as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get a prequel series out of this. I mean, Game of Thrones has made HBO so much money, you know, we'll get a prequel series out of that. What do you think, Justin, about the two dates, the July 7th, 16th, and the 8th season?
Yeah, I'm excited. I have to believe that we're gonna be left with the most ridiculous of cliffhangers of all time when it comes to the final episode of season 7 to the point where it's like it's dangling a carrot on a stick, and I think it's going to be painful. Not like frustrating like Walking Dead was with Negan, but more like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that just happened, kind of a cliffhanger. I think it'll be a rewarding cliffhanger. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think it'll be a rewarding cliffhanger as opposed to a frustrating one.
Do you think dragons get to King's Landing during the season or at the very end of the season?
I would say well, everyone was moving pretty quick in that last episode. So I think it will be a pretty hefty, like, pieces coming into play as far as how they're going to take over King's Landing. Ultimately, with Daenerys getting King's Landing and by the end of this season, and then season 8 dealing with this White Walker problem. I think it'll be a human problem in 7, a Walker problem in 8.
It's so funny. When I asked the question, I'd completely forgotten about the White Walkers. I was only fixated on the battle for King's Landing, and I was thinking that they would use season 7 to set all the pieces up, and then season 8... So we have all the exposition, everything taken care of, so season 8 can just be a free-for-all Lord of the Rings-style battle for King's Landing. But I completely forgot about the White Walker. So yeah, I think we're probably looking about what you think. Maybe. What do you think, Grandy?
Totally agree. I think we have to see it before the end of seven, but I do like in your original question, I like the idea of having it happen at the end of the seventh season. But yeah, we have to leave plenty of room for the White Walkers unless we have something like, picture this. The end of Return of the Jedi, you've got several different story threads going on. You've got the space battle above the Death Star. You've got the action going on the surface of Endor. And then you've got the action going on the Death Star with Luke, Vader, and the Emperor. Okay, follow where I'm going with this. So you've got three very distinct storylines going on. It could be that it's a very human drama or battle. All the while, the White Walkers are starting to take down outlying cities and towns, that kind of thing. So it's becoming closer and closer, and the threat is getting larger and larger, all the while we're being distracted by the human interaction. Yes, no, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to continue your threat. No, I think that's great. I thought there was a part two to your thesis. Sorry.
No, my ideas generally aren't that well.
No, it was fine. You I thought you were pausing for effect. I think that's a good idea. Or maybe we have it backwards. Maybe the White Walkers are the problem in season seven, and it's Daenerys and her dragons that turn the tide and win the battle, and that's when she gets, she gets like the allegiance of Snow and the Starks and everybody. And they just kind of start making their way south towards King's Landing. And then season eight, they conquer.
I don't think it's going to be much of a fight, to be honest with you.
They got dragons?
Yeah. I don't think the King's Landing stands a chance. I mean, if they want to try and keep the city safe and win, sure, that's going to be a problem. But just raising it to the ground, forget about it. It is not a fair fight. Especially since the Lannisters have, they were at war for a really long time. Their resources have got to be heavily depleted. You know what I mean? And everyone fucking hates them, especially after the aftermath. We still got to deal with the fallout of Cersei's fucking
blowing up Baylor's
ISIS attack in the middle of the Baylor's set. Yeah, that's a problem. So we got to see the fallout of that. I would not be surprised if this season is Cersei's last.
No. Don't talk about my girl like that.
No, but hey, I love her. I want her to win the whole thing and just say ha ha and sip her wine. That would just be the best. I do think that she's gonna. I think her time has come.
Yeah,
there's no coming back from that. Yeah,
is Jamie gonna do the deed?
Probably. He's done it before. He's got a track record for that sort of thing.
He's gonna be the Kingslayer and the Queenslayer.
Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna die together.
I bet he kills her and then is just like so riddled with guilt that he just Romeo and Juliet's it.
It's possible.
Yeah, but Lannisters, they're good though. They're the best. Mm. Who do you think ends up on the Iron Throne this season? If we don't think it's going to be fully contested until the next season, do you think Cersei's able to hold this throne to these seven episodes?
Nope.
Dang it. Yeah, Randy, what do you think? Is she going to be able to hold on for seven episodes?
I would certainly like to see that. I'm going to say yes, but I say shit is going to go down on the seventh episode. And that is when she's going to lose the throne. So I say seven episodes exactly.
She's gone full Darth Vader, man.
That's why it's so cool.
So excited to see, like, I just can't wait to see how she, like, weasels out of, like Justin said, that she just bombed, like, this, like, huge landmark in the city and killed hundreds of people. And I don't even think she's even trying to deny it.
No, she's trying to rule by fear.
Yeah. She's like, that wildfire shits other places too. Don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
Oh man, I hope she ends up. She ends up the queen. I mean, it's just like George R. R. Martin to be like, hey, sometimes the bad guys win. Especially in Game of Thrones.
I think she's gonna go the route of the Mad King and rather burn the city to the ground than give it up to a Targaryen. And I think Jaime will again have to do the deed and murder her where she stands. I think he's going to have to take on everybody. I think Jaime is going to have to find a way to defeat Zombie Mountain and Qyburn and Cersei. I think he's going to go for a trifecta.
With one hand.
It's going to be mini boss, super mini boss, and then finally a
sister.
Big boss. Yeah. I think he's going to do it.
And yeah, I mean, this has been... I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm done.
I was going to say, this will be the first time we see... You know, Cersei was always grounded and, you know, made more sane because she had her children. Now she has... She's completely childless. And so it should... We should be able to see what she's going... What she's capable of now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the gloves are off.
Yeah,
she has Jaime, and then once she realizes she's lost Jaime, then it's just, well, this is how it goes.
Yeah, she's in a very dark place, Dave.
Yeah, which is so sad because she had so much at the beginning of this show. She had three pretty kids. She had a brother that she loved a lot, mm-hmm. and she was the queen. But the Starks, man, they ruin everything.
Yeah. you know, Randy brought up an interesting point by going the way of Jedi, because all of our heroes are reunited before they're sort of split again. And that is exactly what, you know, how this last season ended. Everyone's kind of coming together for one last big battle. It'll be interesting to see how long the Starks will be together.
Yeah, and it was nice that I really got the sense at the end of season 6 that, like, all of the pieces are in motion now, that we're not going to be introduced to new characters, we're not going to be introduced to new stories and plots, that we have these two major plots going on, you know, the taking over of King's Landing and the White Walkers, and that's what we're going to have going for these next two seasons, and all the pieces are in play and in motion. And I hope they keep it that way.
No, it's going to open with Gillian the Fat, and it's going to be like the whole first episode.
It's going to open with Griffin, the Griffin character that isn't even in the show.
Yeah,
they're going to introduce him.
It's going to suck. Can you imagine? I bet you that's what they do.
No, I shouldn't be on first.
Gillian the Fat. That's what we're getting.
No. Even though I do think he has some part to play, I'm sure. But you guys see that Warner Brothers wants Matthew Vaughn to direct Man of Steel 2? Not Zack Snyder?
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it is. Matthew Vaughn makes good shit. What, Randy?
You're just happy that it's... Yeah, I was just going to say, you're just happy that it's anybody but Zack Snyder.
I mean, I am, but... I mean, if you take Matthew Vaughn's track record, like, nobody makes stylized action like him. You know, X-Men First Class, the first Kick-Ass, freaking...
Kingsman?
Kingsman. Yeah. I mean, like he makes action look interesting. Like, he doesn't just... He's not the kind of actor who's just going to set a camera on a tripod and shoot wides of an action scene. He is very stylized, has great choice in music, and as a director, I think he could do some amazing stuff with Superman, but... I'm tainted because of my Zack Snyder hate. Justin, you're a more impartial person.
Well, I'm pretty partial to Matthew Vaughn. I love every movie the man's done. And, you know, we always say that he doesn't do sequels. It's pretty crazy that Kingsman is the movie that brought him back. You know, mm-hmm. he's always, hey, check out this sweet franchise. All right, I'm done. Now you guys do something with it. That's kind of his thing. You know, Kick-Ass, X-Men, and Kingsman for sure is how I thought that was going to go. So that's definitely exciting that he's sticking to that property. You're absolutely right. He does make action fun. Love it. I'm excited.
Maybe Rando, you excited?
Man, I'm excited. I think it'll be a good fit.
Look at you, Randy. You're so positive today.
I don't know. I'm in a good mood. What can I say?
I love it. No, no, don't change. I'm just saying it. I love it, and it's weird we're on the same page. Yeah. You know, something in our juices, I guess.
I got juice.
Yeah, our juice boxes.
Our juice boxes are synced. Anyway, I'm not gonna. Yeah. I'm not gonna.
One box, three straws.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I think the next topic may divide us a little bit. Did you guys see the new Wonder Woman trailer?
Yes.
Andy?
Yeah, I watched it without the sound. Does that count?
No, it doesn't. You probably enjoyed it as much as I did, but...
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll go to someone who saw it with sound on. Justin, what did you think?
I think I liked the first trailer better. I'm still... excited to see the movie, but it gave away a lot more this time around. I don't know. I'm more of a fan of the less is more when it comes to trailers, and I still had some suspense, and now I feel like I've seen all that I need to see.
Yeah, don't show us more. Like, you've sold us on the film. We don't need... That's kind of what I always feel like when they give us that one final Star Wars trailer. It's like we're really going to see this movie. You don't need to sell us on Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It sells itself. And every Wonder Woman trailer we got just a little bit more, and then this one I think is flirting right at the edge of telling us too much. And I'm starting to have doubts is a strong word, but. Apprehension towards reservations. There you go. Of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I think that she will obviously crush all the action scenes as well in Batman v Superman. But her dialogue seemed really stinted and wooden in this one. And I'm completely aware that we're just seeing small little snippets. But and small little snippets become big snippets, and she doesn't have really the body of work that would give me faith. You know, if I saw Robert Downey Jr. giving like these wooden lines, I'd be like, well, obviously in the final movie he's going to be fine. I've seen him in a million movies and he's charismatic and he's great. To where I'm not seeing the charisma from Gal Gadot, and the dialogue is just coming off as just like forced. And I don't know if it's the product of the writing or the performance. And I really want this movie to be good. I mean, as much as I shit on the DCEU, I want all comic book movies to be great because I want more comic book movies. Even the Zack Snyder ones I want to be good. I don't want any comic book movies to be bad. And the unfortunate circumstances behind Wonder Woman is there's extra pressure because, you know, it's a female-directed superhero film. It's a female-led superhero movie. You know, it's a period piece. It's DCEU that's also struggling. That this movie needs to be a hit, or it's going to set a lot of things back, and I don't want that to happen. And they got Chris Pine, which is great because he's fucking charismatic as fuck. And I'm sure the scenes where they're together, he can carry the charisma for both of them. But they're my biggest fear, I think, is going to be those scenes on Themyscira, where it's going to be the little ladies talking, and I'm sure they're going to be massive exposition dumps. And I'm hoping that Patty Jenkins is able to mold them in a way that is fast and engaging without being a Suicide Squad level info dump at the beginning of the film. And I'm sold on the film. I'm definitely going to see it. I'm having these reservations, which is probably good because I went into, you know, Man of Steel and Batman v Superman with like, oh wow, shit, this movie looks fucking great. I saw these trailers and there's explosions and Batman's like, who do you bleed? I'm like, oh my God, I got to see this. And then, of course, the movies were less than desirable. So,
all right. Maybe it's so. What about? So now it's going to be, you know, Wonder Woman it's a fish out of water story, right? She's going to be in the city, and she's going to be seeing cars for the first time, and guns for the first time, and it's going to be one of those things where she's completely out of place, and they're going to have to explain everything. Whereas we've already seen a movie where she's in present day. Is that going to be weird at all?
Yeah. It depends how they play it. Like, I'm never a fan of, like, oh my God, everything is amazing in this world. Like, it's good for, it'll be good for a couple jokes, you know, like a Little Mermaid when she's combing her hair with a fork at the dinner table and stuff like that. But if it's going to be a constant, like, Crocodile Dundee situation where they have to explain every little thing to her, I'm going to get bored real quick. I'm hoping that they get there and it's just right to business.
I don't think you're going to get that.
Is Jamie Foxx in this movie as a blue electric-based supervillain?
We could only be so lucky. Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
So good.
And then he makes, like, the electrical grid make the Itsy Bitsy Spider or whatever.
I don't even remember that. I gotta watch the movie again.
And when Spider-Man and Electro are fighting in that, like, all those, like, electrical towers, he's making a buzz and go, like,
wow, I don't remember that at all.
It's bad, that's why. You mentally blocked it out.
That's too bad. That's a shame.
Just like victims of violent crimes can't identify their attacker because it's so jarring and a terrible experience.
They just blocked it.
They just blocked it out.
I certainly hope Wonder Woman's a good movie. I am really banking on that one to be fun.
Yeah, and maybe that's the thing that I'm not getting from these trailers, is I'm not getting the fun. I'm getting the kick-ass action. It looks like Wonder Woman is really going to be impressive as a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't expect her to be a laugh riot.
But... Right, well, I think that's where Chris Pine and his sort of secretary lady come in. I think they're going to be the comedy relief.
Yeah. I dig the idea of like a reverse damsel in distress. Like, I'd be fine if Chris Pine just needs saving all the time, and it would almost be a fun little like poke at Hollywood that like Wonder Woman has to keep saving this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a fun like recurring theme that could kind of give us a smile. Yeah.
Well, we're still 3 months away, so I mean. There's a lot more trailers that they could be showing us in the next 3 months. Right.
And that was another thing that was kind of disheartening is they normally, if it's the final trailer, they'll say final trailer. This did not say that, which makes me think that there will be another trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm assuming that trailer will, like, focus on Ares since he looks to be the main villain of the film. And I just don't want to see too much of that. But Randy, you watched the trailer with your sound off. Did the visuals impress you at least?
Yeah, I thought it looked cool.
Do you share the sentiment of the other two panelists here that you're hoping that it's good and that you may have some concerns, but overall you're excited for it?
Yes, exactly. but I'm gonna step it up with saying that being that it is a period piece. In a period that I am very much enamored with, I think it's got that going in its favor, you know. I've already got a soft spot for it, so all it has to do is just very weakly break its way into my heart.
Mm. Which is easy to do.
Just a gentle nudge is all it'll take.
You're really a softie. No one knows it, but.
I have to have my gruff, hate everything exterior on when I podcast with you guys.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Do you guys want to hear 10 facts that you need to know about Wonder Woman?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
I know you're more the list guy, Randy, but you know, just one just happened to show up. She's the daughter of Zeus. I didn't realize. I thought she was just molded from clay. I guess that was the new 52 version, where she was just like clay.
I heard the clay thing, too.
Yeah. William Moulton created her to be a model for liberated women. Like, go, girls, you can do it. And that same guy, he also had a hand in creating the polygraph. So the creative Wonder Woman also created the polygraph machine.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Man, I haven't even done anything even remotely interesting, and this guy's done two things.
Yeah, he's created an iconic fictional character and a way for Maury Povich to have a television show.
Oh, shit.
She's Princess of the Amazons. I think we all knew that. She is the goddess of war.
Oh.
Yeah. Her bracelets actually keep her powers in check.
Like
she has collar? Superhuman. Yeah, like a shock collar. Mm-hmm. Her superhuman strength puts her in the same category as Superman. She's even overpowered Supergirl, who is sometimes considered more powerful than Superman, though Wonder Woman is admittedly aided by her Amazonian warrior training. It was long thought that her silver bracelets, which were created from the remains of Zeus's shield, added to her power since they are unbreakable and can be used defensively. But in the New 52, Wonder Woman removes her bracelets in order to fight a god, explaining that the bracelets are what actually protected her opponents from her intense power. Well, so maybe she'll lose them
in the movie. The gloves off, as it were.
The wristbands are off. She is a founding member of the JLA. Mm. She, at one point in a DC Marvel crossover, wielded Thor's hammer.
Oh, wow.
She was found worthy to lift Mjolnir.
I wonder how hard it is for them to do those crossovers. The DC and Marvel crossovers.
Pretty hard, because I mean, the last time they did them in the 90s, they were versus, and I'm assuming they just kind of agreed, like, we'll win these ones and you win these ones, but almost all of them had, like, definitive winners, so they had to admit that this character was worse than the other character.
But does the computer decide? Do they do rock, paper, scissors? How do they flip a coin?
I'm thinking it's rock, paper, scissors, followed by a three-legged sack race, and then a round-robin tournament of duck, duck, goose.
And it ends with that thing where they stick a dill pickle up their ass, and then they have to walk, and if it falls out, they have to take a bite of it and stick it back in their ass until they get to the finish line.
That sounds awful.
What is that? Was that just my hazing? You guys didn't have to do that?
No, I did not.
God damn it.
That sounds awful, Van Dyke. The worst.
And then finally, she's come to life twice before in live-action form. Of course, we all remember the Linda Carter.
Yes.
Wonder Woman!
Beautiful. The beautiful Linda Carter.
She still is to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still looking good. Still looking good.
Don't eat Subway sandwiches.
And then Adriana Palicki played her for like three episodes.
Yeah.
A much maligned series where she pants.
Yep. Bon pantalon.
Yeah, and now she's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
Yeah.
And former Friday Night Lights. Former Friday Night Lights standout. Mm. Yeah, so there's 10 fun facts you didn't know about Wonder Woman, or probably did, and were too polite to correct me.
You know.
I like it.
Yeah, no, it was great. Just on the subject of the pants, I always think it's fun when creators experiment with new looks, and I wasn't opposed to the pants. I mean, I get that it's not her normal uniform, but if you just rewind for the last 80 years of comic book history,
mm-hmm.
their outfits have evolved quite a bit. Sometimes they're just a little bit risque. Sometimes they're ahead of their time. And other times they're just a complete failure. But I think it's always fun to experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was fun about the pants era in the comics was that it was women that would complain because they found the Wonder Woman costume to be empowering and that they didn't want her to cover up, which you would think would be the opposite. You could be guys and I'm like, no, don't put pants on Wonder Woman.
Okay, that's an interesting point, because maybe this is what I wanted to talk about earlier. With this whole Emma Watson thing, where she's a big advocate for feminism, and then there was that shot of her breasts, and people were calling her a hypocrite. And right. Those that are saying that have no idea what it means to be a feminist. It's all about giving women the right to choose, you know, and having your own form of expression, and that not being held down for you. And
right.
I think that that's great that she was able to do that and stand up for what she believes in. And what's important about asking people questions about feminism is, I guess the first question you should ask is, what does feminism mean to you? right? You got to define, have a clear definition of a word or a term before you can criticize someone, because you just might not understand what it means entirely. And right. That's unfortunate. And here we have this Wonder Woman suit that was empowering. It was saying, hey, look it, I'm a woman, I'm badass, check this shit out. And that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I like the Wonder Woman costume with pants. I like it without pants, you know.
No pants. Just,
cool. No pants.
No capes.
Yeah, all Emma Watson things just nuts, and I won't talk much about it because I have my own unique views of feminism. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that some people want to place their morals on other people.
Yep, I agree. People are crazy. That shit is whack.
Yeah, it's whack.
People are what? People?
People are people.
Yep. So why is it the same? I got my Depeche Mode tickets. Oh dang!
I heard.
Oh shit! Yes, it was an early birthday present. Very early, just so I would buy them myself. I am excited.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. When are they playing?
In Seattle, October 21st.
Oh, nice.
But I think they're going to Hollywood Bowl at some point, too.
Yeah, I think they play the Hollywood Bowl, like, every year. Every year,
no,
it seems like.
No, they don't.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I only live there, but it's okay. Oh, that's fine, it's fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool, that sounds like it'll be a fun night for you.
Yeah. I am excited. A lot of semen. No, a lot of semen.
Some of it yours.
Yes. Probably most of it.
Oh, well, that's good. You are a heavy shooter.
Oh.
Heavy flow.
As Kurt Finney would say, ropey loads.
Ropey loads indeed.
Yes. Lots of wheatgrass in your diet.
Lots of wheatgrass.
That's not cool. On that note, did you catch the Pixelated podcast?
I did.
I had one.
We're back.
I love it.
And you promised to come back every week until you die, so we're going to hold you to that.
Did I say that?
You said that at the end of the episode. We'll be back here every week until we die.
Ouch.
So if you want to take a week off, you got to kill Steven.
Yeah.
That's easy to do. He weighs like a buck 05.
Look at that.
He's got a little mustache. Did you guys see that?
No.
No.
He's so cute. He's got like an 8th grader mustache.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Maybe by Comic-Con it'll be Tom Selleck.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Comic-Con 2050.
But we don't even have cars.
Oh man, we'll all be flying around.
Damn car! Let's talk about my wife. What's Delroy Lindo been up to lately? I haven't seen him in anything.
I don't know the answer to
that. He didn't die. No one told us, did he?
No.
I would have been sad if that happened. Delroy Lindo, IMDb. Let's see. What's he been up to?
Are you really looking him up?
I am. I'm concerned. He was in Point Break in 2015.
Oh.
That'll do it.
What was his name? Castleback? Castleback?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Huh. All right. You guys got anything else?
I do not.
Well, as Justin said, make sure you listen to the Pixelated Podcast. Back now and forever, every Friday, until either the end of days or until Justin and Steven both die. If one of you pass away, I expect the other one to continue the show in their name.
The other one will die of a broken heart.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be just like the end of Revenge of the Sith. Like, they'll be fine, but they'll lose the will to live. Even though they just had two infant children that should probably give them the will to live, or at least they should, you know, give a fuck.
That's like a hardcore case of postpartum depression.
Yeah. It definitely lessens the impact of the amazing film that precedes it. And then, other than the Pixelated Podcast, we got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff, which is also amazing because it'll make you seem so much smarter with your friends, because everyone wants to talk comic books, but no one wants to read that shit. And Jeff and Tyler read that shit for you, and they tell you which ones are good. So when you go to a party, you can be like, oh, well, I was reading in Avengers, all new, all different Avengers, number 6, that Iron Man, blah, 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 blah. And they'd be like, damn, you smart. And you'd be like, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tyler. But don't give me any credit. Just take it all yourself. Yeah, I'm pretty smart. And then, of course, go to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Good night.